the cave floor in front of him. The axe bit into the stone and held for the moment. But it took all of the Minotaur's strength to simply hold his ground. Nearby, Will and Rick were forced to flatten themselves against the stone floor to avoid being sucked in. "Pandemonium portal!" Rick shouted, the most succinct warning he could give under the circumstances. Ames and I were outside of the radius of the vortex, for better or for worse. With the assault on its legs ended, the huge earth elemental went back to the task at hand. Massive fists pounded the cave ceiling until an ominous crack reverberated throughout the chamber. That's when half the cave disappeared in a hail of rock. Toby reviewed his options and opted for the unknown. Tugging his axe free, the paladin slid into the purple portal and disappeared. Rick and Will made split-second calculations and came to the same conclusion. With ragged yells, they got to their feet and leapt towards the gateway to Pandemonium. The gravity well and wind vortex sucked them in just before tons of stone buried the gateway, the elemental, and the boulder, covering the entryway to the next chamber. When the deafening sound of the cave-in had ended, the chamber was less than half of its original size. Only a single light spell remained that was focused on an unburied area, and it struggled to illuminate everyone who was left. The Bishop of Koroth cackled at the spectacular results of his spell. That is, of course, until Ames finally broke through the field of force and split his skull open like a melon. The lifeless body of the bishop slid to the ground, golden staff clattering impotently as it fell from his dead hands.
"It doesn't matter, you know."
I turned to face Duke Harrington. I'm certain that he could see the rage in my eyes, but his voice was as calm as a mountain lake in the fall. I noticed that the volume of those invisible mining picks digging their way to the underworld was significantly less in that moment. They must have been far, far away. The Duke murmured,
"The deal will be struck, no matter what happens today. Koroth will march upon the world, and Royal Moffat will be the first sacrifice made in his glory. Dead or alive, I will become the general of his armies. So it is written."
I nodded, and then uttered the brief incantation that started all of this. The Duke seemed somewhat surprised to be struck by my force bolt. His confusion was so profound that he didn't make a sound, even when he plummeted into the pit of his own making. He was so distant when he died that I couldn't hear whether or not he screamed when he smashed into the stone and dozens of invisible pickaxes decimated his broken body. "Guess me sees you in hell," I muttered gutturally. Ames called out,
"Sorch, let's go."
The feline was standing next to the passage that we used to enter the cavern, just at the edge of where the light spell gave up and allowed the shadow to win. I knew that deep down the werecat must have figured out that there was no escape from this. It was pure instinct that drove them to run somewhere, anywhere. I shook my head, then poked my own chest with a calloused green thumb.
"Sorch, Stonebender."
I walked over to where the rubble of the cave-in gave way to the smooth stone wall separating us from the arcane siphons. Even in my current state, I knew what had to be done. I reached into my component pouch and took out the little block of clay. My finger poked a hole right through it, and then I laid my palm against the wall and murmured the incantation. As I said before, I'm not a religious man. I don't worship these gods and goddesses, and I don't play their games. However, when the goddess of magic gives you a hint, I think it's in one's best interest to take it. Besides, it was my name. My stone-shaped spell silently melted a hole in the wall. I reached through and stretched out my hand until my fingertips touched that warm, thrumming metal. Even with my mind mostly unraveled, I knew what to tell them. "Stop." The siphons ceased their digging. "Go up." In the chamber beyond, thousands of phantom hands appeared. Some took up phantom picks and started to dig a passage to the surface. Others picked up the arcane siphons and started to carry them away, transporting them up the freshly dug tunnel. They wouldn't stop until they reached the surface and felt the setting sun bathe them in the day's dying light. I felt the last of the artifacts slowly drift away, until my fingers were touching nothing at all.
"Stop him!"
I turned towards those voices. Clerics and soldiers of Koroth had abandoned the battle above to investigate the earthquake and subsequent cave-in. At this point, my brain was soft, like a preserved peach. The drain had taken me all the way back to when I first discovered the enhancement. It didn't matter. I only had a single spell left, and it wouldn't help against a dozen enraged cultists. Then I saw that pair of feline eyes, shining in the darkness. They were angry, desperate, looking for some way to kill all of these interlopers and rescue me. Ames was behind the cultists, in the shadows of fallen rubble, calculating how many they would be able to take out. It was suicide, of course. That's when I realized what I had to do with my last spell. I faced the approaching force and vocalized my final incantation. They laughed when nothing seemed to happen, and continued to stalk forward. Only they weren't my target. As the final vestiges of my enhanced intelligence drained away, I watched those eyes in the shadows. Confusion as the silence spell enveloped Ames. Then outrage as the werecat realized that I took away any offensive move they were contemplating. The sphere of silence would have been a dead giveaway that something was amiss. Finally, a profound sadness. Forced to make the only smart move, I watched those eyes tear up and then vanish into the darkness. The cultists must have been wondering why this stupid orc was just standing there, smiling, staring off into the distance. The blackjack that slammed into the back of my neck wiped the smile from my face. It was a race to see if the darkness would hit me first, or the stone floor that was rushing up to meet me. It was the darkness. Chapter 18. Me not dead yet. Soon. Don't know how many moons gone. Bad men put orc in small room with bars. Say God need to know what in orc head. Me say head not so good. They beats me when say that. They ask about dream. I tell them about cold place, about snow, about warm fur keep me living. They say they not care. Cut me till bones show and orc scream. Think me dead, but no. Mad God heal me so they can do again next day. They ask about nightmare. Don't know nightmare. Every night dream of snow, of cold place, of warm fur. Dream of people who need me. Hear them talk about getting me smart. Me smart orc, how get smarter than this? They say no, they break me faster, dumb. Me say me feel broken already. Not smart thing to say. Break me more. One man get so angry he break bar door. They move me to next bar door over. Me do remember daydreams. Tells them sometimes daydream of bulls and kitties and men. And me happy, pretend dreams real, but know they not real. Village real, this place real. Don't remember how me get there to here. Me go home if they let me. They don't. Less pain if me don't talk about daydreams. They hurt me less. But me also hurt less inside if just forget. So me forget. Daydream less and less, until no more daydream. Is better that way. After while not sure why here, they asks stuff and things, but not understand. They make pain, not sure why. Hear one say healing not working so good, soon not work at all. Maybe then, let me rest. Rest for good. Today someone fixed bar door mean man broke. Hear them come downstairs, many tools banging. Me think about ways to sleep and not wake. Maybe take door tool and use dat. I wait and see who come and what day bring. Lock fixer close door behind them. Don't go to broke bar door. Look at me instead. Is a kitty. Wear pretty rock ring. Kitty smile at me. Dunno why, but me smile back. This is the end of Book 1, but the story continues with Another Stupid Demon, Book 2 of Another Stupid Trilogy. Keep listening after the credits for a free preview. If you enjoyed this audiobook, you'll love Shaman's Fable, a free Another Stupid Trilogy novella available exclusively on oddfans.com, the premier audiobook discovery service that brings tailored recommendations direct to your email. Sign up for free at audfans.com and start listening today. Chapter 1. Me dumb orc. Many moons ago, bad men put me in room with bars. Least, think they bad. Most folk get locked in bars. They the bad people. Don't think me bad people. So those gotta be bad people and me the good people, right? Anyway, they ask stupid things. Why you have this dream, they say. What you know about voodoo engine, they say. Try to tell them stuff and things. They still hurt me bad. Guess not smart enough for good answer. Wasn't gonna last much longer. Would be in peace. Then come Lock Fixer Kitty. Lock Fixer Kitty not fix lock. They break lock. Stupid kitty. Bar door slide open. Kitty pull me out. Say we gotta go quick. Hurt to move quick. Rather lay down. But fuzzy thing keep tugging at me. Head pounds bad. Can't think. Go just to keep kitty quiet. This is sneaky cat. Find me out. Big bag of tools got sword in it. Sword wet and red. Bag got small crossbow in it and many dart. Not many tools, really. Hope they not pay much for lock fixer kitty. Kitty ask.
Sorch, where are your things? Do you know?
I blink. Cat no name. Got pants on? What other stuff? Fuzzy white beast look annoyed. Somehow, think me seen that look before.
Your spellbook and weapons. Oh, your pot. Where's your cooking pot, Sorch?
For some reason, dat make me mad. They took pot. Many moons ago, pot go away, not come back. Me growl a bit. Dunno. Kitty say,
okay, love. Come on, this way.
Go to next room. Guard dead on floor. Stuffed under desk. Look like back of neck start to come off. Super bad luck. White fluffball say,
Sorch, get anything useful off of him. I'll have a quick look around. I don't know how long we have.
While Kitty look all over, I look at dead guy. He ask lots of mean questions, not feel bad for him. Got some kind of axe thing? Don't know how to use it. Got fancy throwing stick thing? Don't know how to use that. Oh, got water bladder. Take that! Boots too small. Bah! Got pouch of stuff on belt. Sure, me take that. Kitty come back when putting on belt. Look at me like crazy. I explain, sadly. No magic. White fuzzy thing grab hand and run. Make it to kitchen, but bad guys see. Three human. They dress in shiny metal loops. Not like when Kitty shoot one in face with little bow. Other two run up with axes. Kitty draw sword. I get out of way. Maybe dumb, but not that dumb. Find out Kitty super fast. Made axe guys more angry. Dodge here, dodge there, swishy tail. Bad human get in way of each other. Kitty make fast little stab, then dance away. Then me get distracted. Something on kitchen counter. Me know dat thing. When walk over to get thing, hear Kitty hiss. Axe cut red line in white fuzz on shoulder. Kitty slip away. Not look too bad, but red fuzzy patch grow as all dem fight. Cat lunge real fast, surprise one guy, get him in neck. He go down, choking. But last human mad. Pound axe on sword till fluffy arms shake. Kitty back to wall next to stove. Green eyes squeezed to slits. Look like much pain. Human raise axe again. Just when me get to him. Swing thing at back of brain. Black kettle smash into human skull. Thud sound. Not healthy. He fall into corner. Smoosh kitty. Me help get him pulled away. Me found pot. Panting cat say,
thanks, big guy.
Move quick to reload little crossbow. Me shrug. Dem or us. Kitty squeeze my shoulder, then shove me away with little hiss. Knife still hit me in arm near wrist. Pain even worse now. But rest of body aches not so bad. White fuzzy critter shoot back at knife thrower. He no got armor. Get hit right in chest and fall down. You killed a cook, me say sad. Kitty look mad.
He was trying to kill you, sort. Don't you dare feel sorry for him.
Me mumble, yeah, but he good cook. My turn to hiss. Tug knife out of arm, tuck in belt. Both use towels to tie off wounds quick. Tie black pot to belt, too. Then go up stone steps, quick as can. Me sees two thing when get up there. Guard all run around screaming, and big, big fire outside window in woods. No wonder screams. You do that? Me ask. White kitty nod. Bad kitty. We both bleeding and feel pain, but get out stable door while others panic. No horsies around. Guard no seamen hurry to catch us. They busy with dig dirt and fine buckets and throw water and stuff and things. Run into not burny trees. Late morning sun on left. We going downhill. Not go too far. Then get to small grass patch. Hear something at far end. But before get good look, someone shout to stop. We no stop, though. Stop, not good plan. Man in heavy armor come from behind. Huge axe. He snarl, stop in the name of the Duke. I'll butcher you both where you step. Guess he shut up 'cause rain of glowy darts come from other side of grass patch. Man twitch and scream like stung by death bees. Kitty grab arm and take me toward where dart come from. Man grab horn from where have on shoulder. Blow real loud. Alarm go up. Hear for miles. Sudden smell behind. Look over shoulder. See thick, stinky fog. Hear human cough. Sound like puke, too. Look back ahead to where get dragged. See where all magic come from. Three brown horsies come out of woods. Small one rode by human. Not more than boy. Pale and skinny. Black hair, brown eyes. Dis squirt use all that magic? We gets on beasts. They go like angry lizard. Downhill again, through trees. Every stomp and jump, pain. Feel like sleep, but don't want to fall off and croak. Stop once, stitch up cuts. Sweet-tasting drink helps some with hurt and blood. Me and kitty share. Then, much riding. Get to dirt path, used at. Must be quarter day. Stop only for water, for dry fruit. Me ask, why we go downhill? They look at each other. Humans say,
what do you mean, Salt? There's no real significant hills around here. I mean, we've been going up and down hills all day.
Point back where no big white hills are. That uphill.
Cat say, I think he means south, away from the equator and the mountains. Sorch, we're heading to the coast, to the Renault estate. It should be safe there.
Me grunt. Downhill fine, then. Keep riding. Sun drop to trees on right before long stop. Boy and kitty look tired. Horse look tired. Maybe me look tired, too, but just hurt all over.
While they make tents, me make fire. Boy try stop me getting firewood, me growl at him. He quick to find other stuff to do. When all done, small human light fire with magic rock and metal. Sit around fire. They talk. I listen. Boy say,
the cloud of stench probably bought us enough time to get away cleanly. Even if they had the resources to track us, I don't think they have much of a chance. Certainly not with dogs, not this far and riding this fast.
Kitty say,
I don't know how far south their patrols go. Technically, we're still in the Duke's lands, but they have a royal army to contend with, so we might not be a priority.
Small human nod.
If you set up your tripwires, I think we'll be okay. We both need sleep.
All sit quiet for a while. Kitty breaks silence.
How angry are your parents going to be?
Boy groan.
Oh, gods, don't remind me. I don't know. I couldn't involve them. There are political concerns, and I don't want to give the rebels any excuse to invade. I hope they know that they raised me right, and I wouldn't do this kind of thing lightly.
Me reach over and pat boy on shoulder.
You good kid, Lee son.
Kitty and kid both stare at me. Me frown.
What?
Kitty say,
great, he remembers you, but not me. You think when a guy pledges his undying love,
Leeson say real quiet,
he's been through a lot. The mind is a funny thing.
Then louder boy say,
Sorch, do you remember Ames?
Ames. Word roll around in head. Me know this. Ames name of horse?
Quick scuffle. Kitty mad at something. Boy hold kitty back. Me shrug.
While Leeson latch onto cat, he say,
no, no. Sorch, this is Ames. The werecat right here.
Me peer across fire. Orange-red dance over white fur. Angry green eyes look at me.
But not just angry. Angry sad. Remember something. You warm.
Wrestling stop. Human and cat calm. Stare at me.
Me say, snowfall in sky. Thought gonna freeze. You keep warm.
Kitty's eyes wide.
The Quincy. The blizzard. You remember that, Sorch?
Think real hard. Cat talk about dreams. How they know dreams?
Head start to hurt. Me throw hands up. Bah, sleep now. Both others sigh. Kitty lead me to tent. Human go to other. Lay down for night. Feel fuzzy thing on back. About to complain, but feel good. Warm and soft. Fine. Cat sleep here. Wake up to hear voices arguing.
It's too soon, Leeson. Listen, he knows common and orcish. The worst that can happen is he can't do it. If this hurts him, you know I'll skin you alive, right? Relax, Ames, please. He'll be okay.
Me open front of tent.
Loud things! Louder than horse! What you want?
Boy quickly look away, turn red. Kitty rub head with white paw, like getting ache in brain.
Sorch, put some pants on, please, then come join us.
Me snort. Put on stuff, strap on belt. Feel better today. Less pain. Brain's more clear. Feel free. Walk over to others.
What you want?
Leeson open pretty book. Flip to page.
Sort, how much of this can you read?
Read for nerds,
boy sigh.
Will you try, please?
Me stare at book. Words look like they swim around like fishies in lake.
That real pretty,
Kitty ask.
Can you read any of that sort? Does it hurt to try?
Me shrug.
No hurt, just pretty squiggles. Got food?
Boy look sad. Close book.
Yeah, we can eat, Sort. We'll try this again in a couple of days.
while eat cheese and bread, feel like others want something. From me, dunno what. When done, me ask, that book means stuff? You wanna read to me? I listen. Kitty and Leeson look at each other. Kitty say,
I can't read it either, Sorge. It's okay. It's a magic book. Do you remember doing magic?
Me scratch chin. Used to, back in swamp. Long time ago, though, gave that up. Magic make you dumb. Little human say,
just a few months, really, Sorge. It's all right. Let's head down to the estate. We'll sort things out there, and you can tell us where you want to go from there.
Me go untie horse. Overhear boy and kitty. He loud whisper.
He needs his amulet. Even then, he'll probably need a scroll to kickstart the process. If he can even read that. When he studies, it should be his simple notes in Orcish. So that means his spellbook.
Kitty whisper back.
Or the copy back in his swamp, with his friend Shaman.
Me hop up on horse. Think hard all through ride. Cast spells again? Back to feed voodoo engine? Not much of life. Remember Shaman, though, he nice guy. If go back, he know what best. We ride downhill long time. Not as crazy, though. Slower, more careful. Sun get tall, then start to get short before we get there. Pass many field of cows. Ride through many field of fancy little fruit. Leeson say they grapes. Make wine with them. Snuck a few when nobody looking. Not bad. See more horses ahead as we come out of grape home. Big men on horses. Got huge spears, fancy armor. Little human quickly ride up to them. Say something. Not make men happy. Soon they surround us and we all ride together. Me try to make talk. Hi. Armor man say nothing. It gonna rain. You gonna rust. Still nothing. My horsey better than your horsey. Seaman smile, then hide it. Good enough. Smell salt in air. Grass give way to coast, just as big house come up. Look like made from white rock. Got big wall around it, too. Metal men open gate and let us inside. Man and woman waiting in yard, arms folded. They dress nice, like fancy dolls. Look a lot like Leeson, but more mad. Me start to say that out loud, but little human shush me.
Hi, Mom. Hi, Dad, he say.
Try to sound cheery, me think. Not really work. Mom say,
Leeson Reno, you disappear for days. Days, mind you, with our three fastest horses, magical supplies, and a complete stranger. You even raided the emergency kit for a healing potion. And you leave a note? A note?
I noticed Dad's lips twitch. He tried to hide smile. Look at eyes. Can tell he a little proud, actually. But Dad stay quiet for now. This Mom's show. Leeson stammered.
Mom, now, it's true you've never personally met Ames, but I did tell you about the adventuring folk I met, and it was an emergency. I'm sorry I worried you.
Mom not look happy with that answer.
Don't you try to placate me, boy. We're the politicians here. You don't think I know when I'm being fed a line of bullshit?
Dad step in quick. This might take a little while, son. Would you like to come get some refreshments with me? My boy will want to properly introduce your friend and apologize for worrying his mother. Last bit, big hint to Leeson, probably. Me take couple seconds to get that dad talking to me. Some reason felt nice to be called son. Me say, yup, let's go. Me hop down from horsey and let older man bring me inside big house. He put arm on shoulder. Must be good friend. Taken through fancy entry hall with rugs on walls. Rugs on floor. Thin rugs on windows. They really like rugs. Place lit with torches in pretty silver holding things. Big risk, me think, with all these rugs. But not my house. We head into nice room with wood table and fancy chairs.
It's good to meet the legendary Sorch face to face. Crafty negotiator, excellent tutor, and apparently hero of Royal Moffat, if rumors at court are to be believed. Now that you're out of enemy hands, I'm sure the King and Queen will make an official announcement of some sort.
Sit in chair and peer at human. Me think. If good to meet me, guess we not best friends. Yet. Man really is older Leeson. More muscle, thicker belly, some gray in hair, but mostly same. Don't remember dat. Maybe just talk. Folks make up stuff. Don't feel like hero.
Daddy Renault rubbed chin. I've read Leeson's spellbook. He had a detailed history on you. I dare say I would have called you a hero before you even taught him your spell. After months in prison, though, I imagine it's all undone. You're going to need to start over again with the intelligence enhancement.
Me fold arms. Maybe yes, maybe no. Free now, might be happy with that. Don't sound sure, though, not to own ears. Dad catch servant passing by.
Denise, would you be so kind as to cut up that freshly baked loaf that I smell? Smother some of it in peanut butter and bring it out.
She nod and scurry out.
Dreadful weakness of mine, peanut butter. I'm happy to share. Don't tell the missus, Sorch, or we won't get dinner.
Me shrug and say, you think me weak, for maybe no start over. Dad tilt head, think about next words, then say,
Sorch, you're a grown man, and I have no earthly idea what you've been through over the last few months. Here's what I do know. You've tamed an ancient curse, traveled half the length of the globe, passed the most difficult entrance exam in all of magical academia, and saved a significant portion of the continent we're on. Whatever you decide, I know you'll accomplish it. You're as strong as you choose to be.
Can't see now. Water in eyes. Hard to breathe. Hear someone crying. Is me. Feel napkin pressed to hand. Rub face with it. Very hard. To know what real and what dream. Can't remember. Hardly nothing. Just pain. That dad voice come over table.
I have the opposite problem, Sorch. I served in the military and was captured. I'll never forget a moment of what was done to me. But trust me when I say, time helps. Whatever you consider normal, that gets closer every day. Lean on your friends. Trust your loved ones.
Done even no own friends.
Dad say, that feline of yours is a friend. My son is your friend. In the short time he's known you, you've become his idol. He'd walk through a storm of fire for you.
Sound proud of his boy. Me, snuffle. Ball up napkin and drop on table. Did we meet before dis?
He shake head. No, but my son trusts you and respects you. So I trust you and respect you. He's going to want to help you, and his mother and I will put on a good show. But in the end, he'll have our full support, as will you. Okay?
Me nod. Okay. Thanks, Dad.
He laugh at that.
Just then bread come in, melted brown goo on top. Smells so good, nearly fall out of chair. That's when discover, me love peanut butter. Me say, must be fun to be rich. Own all this?
Dad say, sometimes it is, and I'm not going to be one of those people who complains how boring dinner parties are. But there is a real cost. A couple, actually. The first is that you're responsible for the lives and livelihood of so many people. Sometimes a decision you make hurts someone, and sometimes it kills someone. It's a lot to put on one's shoulders. But the second is hard as well. You give up the right to say exactly what's on your mind. Because if you're brutally honest, you alienate the people who you have to work with. So you have to keep your mouth shut sometimes. for the greater good.
Tilt head and consider. Yeah, I just get rich enough to buy boat.
Daddy Renault say, good call.
After finish food and chat, Lisa Ames and Mom come. All seem okay with them now. Ames do most talking, explain what happened to me, how rescue go and escape. All talk about magic stuff and armies and kings. Talk about land and bad weather and no water anywhere and sad crops everywhere. Boring. Dinner good, though. Lisa and family raise cows. Steak super good. Make me sleepy after long trip. Me not only one. Kitty almost fall out of chair. Mom Renault scold us for not saying we tired. She tell us go sleep. Take me and Ames to guest room. Super nice room. Bed got tall posts, is big and fluffy. Floor got little rugs in place, bare in others. Dunno why. Must be fancy people stuff. Got own jug of water and cups on pretty wood table. Is nice. They got mirror, too. Go from ground all the way up. Me look at skin. Much wound. Much scar. Look like map. Remind of something. Remember face of old woman. Then see face in mirror. She look at me over big fire. She write as me talk. Me sound so smart. She smile at me with all teeth she got left. Her face look like map of the world. Paw on shoulder make me jump. Kitty tug me to bed. Me move slow. Room lit just with one old lamp. Don't wanna knock any pretty stuff over. Lay down slow. On arm with no bandage. Kitty sleep fast. Fluff ball hug my back again and snore in ear. For some reason, don't mind that much.
You have been listening to Another Stupid Spell, Book 1 of Another Stupid Trilogy, produced by Greg Lawrence, Associate Producer Emily Durr, written by Bill Riccardi, performed by James Patrick Cronin, a member of SAG-AFTRA. Text copyright 2017 by Bill Riccardi. Production copyright 2018 by Podium Publishing. All rights reserved.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.